friends. I am so glad you're back on another edition of the Amber May Show, because I invited Zachary King back on the show because we dive in on Hollywood and what do the actors have to do to be uber famous. They have to do something, and it involves the Illuminati, and we get into that on this series. It's going to be broken up into a couple different episodes, so make sure you check out the whole entire thing. We also talk about the New Age creeping into the church. So it's a great few episodes that you're going to want to join in on, so check that out. And if you enjoy what I'm doing and would like to be a partner, an angel investor with me, the easiest way to do it is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and you know, donate whatever you can donate that would help support the program. Or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. That would be so helpful. Hey, I always carry more conversation over at Telegram. Join me at the Amber May Show over there. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub. So join me over there as well. Well, coming up next is Zachary King. I told you I have Zachary back with us. I'm so excited to have you back. Thank you so much for coming on my show again. I appreciate you.
Thanks for inviting me. I had a good time last night.
There's a pattern. When you come out in Hollywood, there's a pattern of you being suicide. Look at Anne Heche. Remember that movie she was going to come out with about rape trafficking of kids? And then I think they messed with her car and they killed her in an accident. But then she wasn't quite dead. Because you see the video, I don't know if you saw that video. She's on a gurney and then she takes the thing off and she sits up and then they hold her back down. And then next thing you know, she's dead and they say, oh, she died in a car accident. And there's videos of her going really fast, like on a doorbell type thing, doorbell radio. I think it's a doorbell type video. She's going so fast. I think they did something to her car. To where she couldn't stop, or it made her accelerate to try and kill her because of the movie she was coming out with. You didn't know that one?
When did she die?
She died a year or two ago. Not too long ago. My time frame gets like, I'm so busy and I have so many activities like you that I tend to lose track of timelines, but it was fairly recent.
Well, Joan Rivers was being interviewed, and they asked her, do you think we'll ever have a gay president? And she said, we already have a gay president. He's in the office right now. And mm-hmm. That was Barack Obama.
And she talked about his wife being transgender.
Michelle Obama being a man.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went in to have elective surgery.
Yep.
Harmless, and she died.
Yep. But what I don't understand about that whole thing, the Democrat Party is very pro-homosexual. Right. So why would they murder her over that? Because
there was this report that came out during that time. Like I'm tuned in at that time. I was tuned into a lot of the conspiracy theory podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was going on right then was about Michelle Obama being a man.
Yes.
And Barack Obama being gay.
Right.
We talked about there were these five gay men that were best friends with Barack Obama. And they were best friends with him until he became president. And then they all mysteriously died.
Hmm.
Like they were just found. Their bodies were found. One in the bottom of an elevator shaft. One suicided himself in a car. But all five of them ended up dead and nobody investigated. Like, oops, they died.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, again, why would the Democratic Party care?
Yeah, I mean, they're very pro-homosexual. So when they murder Joan Rivers over that, to me, I'm thinking, well, wouldn't they be happy that finally it's come out in the open? Because I remember when Barack Obama was in office, he had all the gay flag colors shown on the White House. So he was so supportive of the homosexual community. So if he came out as gay, because she said so, like, and a transgender, like, to me, why would like the Democrat, but whatever. I don't know. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. But that's what I was told too by someone who was former Hollywood, that that's exactly what happened to her. She went into an elective surgery after saying that and she died.
Think that the Democratic Party wants to control the narrative. They're willing to say Barack Obama's gay, but they want to say it. They don't
Gotcha.
want it to be revealed by Joan Rivers. Well, going back to the rock stars, Lady Gaga has a Netflix documentary called Gaga 5.2. And in the edits of that, in the outtakes, she says that she left a club one night. She was performing in a strip club and a musical set. She wasn't stripping. And at the end of the night, she walked out the back door. There was a guy out there waiting for her. And he said he could make her famous if she would agree to sell her soul to the Illuminati. And she thought, what have I got to lose? So she did. And then she blew up as Lady Gaga. But now she has full-on body pain all day long, every day, and she has to get all these special treatments, and she thinks she's possessed. She would like to have an exorcism. But it's like, hey, if you really wanted to be an exorcist or be an exorcist, why don't you give up what you're doing? Like, you're clearly satanic.
Oh, yeah. Some of what she puts on and does look satanic. And so the Illuminati is in charge of Hollywood, and they're in charge of making these people famous by
Yes.
getting them to sell their soul to the devil.
Yeah, you have to sell your soul. You have to agree to sell it to the Illuminati, which means you're selling it to the devil if you're going to be famous. Now, it's not just a simple of sign on this line and that'll be that. You have to agree to push their agenda forward. So even if you're known as being a Republican, you have to promote Barack Obama. You have to promote Joe Biden. You have to promote whatever the Democratic ideals are. You have to agree to those. You know, if you're being promoted by a clothing company, you have to wear their clothes. If you're being promoted by Pepsi, you have to drink their drink. Whatever it is that you're being promoted with, you've got to do. You've got to wear their cologne or perfume. You've got to support their president, all their ideals. You've got to talk about how evil Donald Trump is. You know, even if you feel in your heart Trump's a good guy, too bad. You're not allowed to say it in public.
Wow. What else is the Illuminati in charge of?
Politics. There's a video from 2016 or 15, and I don't know if you'll find it now because I looked for it a few years ago and my secretary couldn't find it. But it's where Donald Trump said that Hillary worked for the Illuminati.
I thought she was in the coven or a witch or something, is what I thought Hillary Clinton was.
That came out in WikiLeaks, and her one of the drivers for her revealed that she used to be taken monthly Satanic Coven meetings in California.
Yeah, I think her daughter's involved in that too.
Right. And she got, when she was running for president, she got endorsed by the Satanic Temple.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, why
For
would,
middle America, that's not a great endorsement.
right, why would you vote for your candidate if you found out they were being supported by the Satanic Temple? Like, if I was a Democrat, I would decide I can't vote for them.
Yeah, normal, regular, everyday people don't support the devil. Like, at least not knowing anyways. Like, they wouldn't want to be on the side of the devil. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody, I mean, middle America doesn't. When you just talk to them and you say, "Would you support the devil?" They're like, "No."
Well, there was a survey that came out recently that said that only 50% of America believes in God.
I believe that. There's been a big fundamental shift since the 60s. Remember, they started taking prayer to school. They started abortions. There's been a bit, they took the Ten Commandments out of the schools, the courthouses, and city halls. There's been a big shift. People used to know the basic Bible stories. They used to know about David and Goliath, the Good Samaritan. Almost everyone in America would know the basic Bible studies because at some point in their life, they've attended a couple of Sunday school classes, or they went to vacation Bible school, or someone taught them somewhere. Now you start saying those stories, people are like, "What? What
Right.
is a Good Samaritan? What's wh who's David?
What's the Samaritan?
Goliath who?" You know? But
Cool.
back at certain, like, 60s, 70s, people would know. Even I'd say as far as the 80s, people knew your basic Bible stories. But now I would say it's a flip of a coin at this point. If I were to say, "Hey, do you know about Jonah and the whale?" No. "Do you know about David and Goliath?" Nope. "Have you heard of the Good Samaritan? Do you know what that's about?" Nope. Like, I kind of foresee getting more no's than yeses.
I showed my wife a documentary a few days ago. It was called Supersize Me.
Oh, about McDonald's.
Yeah, she had never seen it. And it showed these kids were sat down and they showed them a bunch of pictures to see who they recognized. Now they all recognized McDonald's, Ronald McDonald. Most of them did not know who Jesus Christ was.
That's so sad. That is so sad. Because they have worked, whoever is behind, obviously devil, but whoever else, is it the Illuminati that's been behind removing this stuff out of the schools? Or I don't know who's behind all that, but there has been a fundamental shift about people who are in power and the people who have been put in offices, places of power, judges, mayor, city council. I mean, even to the very local level, it's been a strategic effort to do this, to take over and destroy America, but and to remove God from everything. But God's the one who gave us this country. God, our founding documents say that these rights that we have are given by God. The only way you can give your rights away is if you surrender them. They can't take it from you because God gave it to me. I can surrender my rights, but they can't take it away from me because God gave me the rights. They have no ability to take it unless I give them the rights.
Texas voted recently that all their courthouses will have the Ten Commandments.
I did a story on that. Yes, I'm so happy about that. And I think in the classrooms too. And there's going to be a time for prayer. And but if people don't want to participate, they're allowed to opt out. But the public schools are going to give in Texas the ability for prayer for people
Meaning
to.
that they're opening themselves up for the Satanic Temple to come in. And insist that they put up their Ten Commandments and put things on display. Like when there's a Ten Commandments posted in public, they insist on putting a Baphomet statue so that their religion is also reflected. And if you say no, then you have freedom of religion to do what you want to do that needs to go that way across the board, or you need to remove your Ten Commandments. And they will attack that. I'm gonna call it now. The next SatanCon is gonna happen in Texas.
Yeah, I could see that. You make good points. You do. Because we do have freedom, but God does win at the end. And honestly, I would not want that satanic stuff in my schools at all.
Well, have you heard of After School Satan?
The what?
After school Satans.
No.
You're kidding.
No, I haven't.
On it, I think from 2016, maybe 15. So, After School Satan is the Satanic Temple found out that there were after school programs that were Protestant, where the Protestants are teaching God to the kids. So they came out and decided they're going to have an after school Satan program
Oh, wonderful.
all over the United States. A lot of them in Florida, I think Texas, California, and but other states as well, Massachusetts. And they say, if you have the right to have to teach Protestantism, Christianity to children, then we have the right to teach them about Satan. And that they said, if you close up shop and go home, we'll close up shop and go home. Thankfully, none of the Christians have decided, oh no, we give in, we're going to give up and let Satan win. So, the Christians have stayed there, but then as a result, there's an after school Satan program. And I said in my video, one of the things I bring up is now they claim they're not going to teach Satanism to the kids. They're just going to teach about dinosaurs and science, and different things like that. Have fun, color and coloring books, watch some cartoons. But they're tax exempt. Why would I get tax exempt status if I name my after school program the After School Baptist Hoo-Ha Club, but I didn't teach anything about the Baptist religion?
Right.
Why does that get me tax exempt status? Well, I'm thinking that since Satan was a liar and a murderer, that they're lying, that they
Yeah.
are.
One of
Because
their commandments probably is you better lie. You shall lie. You will lie because the Bible says Satan is the father of lies.
mean, why else would they have the after-school Satan program? Now,
Right.
my other question is, what parent would put their child in the after-school Satan program?
The parents in a cult or in a coven.
Child,
Huh?
do you not love your child? Do you not want what's best for your child?
Yeah, but if you're in that group, you would put your kids there, but the rest of us should not.
Right.
But what if they're like you? Remember, your parents didn't know you were going to a coven. And what if those kids don't tell their parents they're in this club? Or tell their parents they're in a different club and then go to that meeting. See, that's a possibility too, where kids could be deceitful to their parents and end up going and doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Not quite sure that after school Satan would be something you could sneak into.
I hope not. I hope not. Because you hid a lot of things from your parents, but God uses everything for your good, so you're using all that knowledge that you gained in the Satanic Coven to teach all of us about the what's going on the other side. I think there's a lot of good that comes from your ministry of you speaking and teaching. I mean, I'm learning stuff, and you confirm the stuff that I've been told about Hollywood. You've definitely confirmed that. It makes me so disgusted where I don't even want to go to a movie or go to a con. You know, it's like, does it even go to the countryside, country music? I hope it does not go to the country music side.
App side.
Rap side, does it go to country music? It goes to country music? No. Say it ain't so, sir. Say it ain't so. I love country music. They talk about God in country music.
I like all types of music, but during the 90s, I was during the 80s, I was really surprised that these country music people would show up. And I thought it's different. I mean, these guys, they look like good old boys and down-home rednecks, a lot of them, and I grew up in a redneck town. So I feel at home with those people.
Yeah.
And I feel like those are my people.
They're my people too.
And, you know, I want to give a shout out to a group of them that hosted me in Wisconsin. It's been almost 10 years ago, but these guys had this huge family, and like they brought all three families together. They're like three brothers, and they all had like 12 kids apiece. So they would gather on Saturday and Sunday and have like a bonfire and drink beer around it and sing songs. And, you know, they hosted me. I was there to speak and had a great time with these guys. Because I just wanted to move there. And, you know, it was colder than Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Vermont, so I didn't want to live to where it was colder. But it was a nice group of guys.
Yeah. So is it very prevalent in country music, this where they would go and see you in the warehouse and they would have to do something?
Very prevalent.
No. That makes me so sad because I love country music and they all seem like wholesome people and they sing about God and church. And
well, there's a lot of rap stars that have lyrics about God in their regular raps.
True. I interviewed DMX once. Remember DMX?
Yeah, I remember DMX.
He struggled. He struggled so much. Like, at least the impression I got when I interviewed him, because he came in, I was kind of surprised. He came in with like alcohol bottles like that tall, and he came in with several of them. And I'm like, dude, we're going to do an interview. Like, seriously, he came in with like four or five of them. But when he left the interview, and he came very, very, very late. Thank God it wasn't live radio at the time. I just left where he was really struggling with his inner demons. Like, I prayed over him for a long time because I felt like he had a desire to get to know God and want to do right by God. But some of the strongholds just wouldn't let him break free. And I just saw this really big internal struggle. At least that's the impression I got after interviewing him that he had. And he tried to make an entire album of nothing but prayers because he did want to pursue the Christian faith, but I don't think he ever fully dove into it. And now he's deceased. So I hope somewhere along the way, he really had a come to Jesus moment, because I'm not really convinced he really got to know Jesus the way part of him really wanted to. And then part of this, I don't know.
His dying breath, God was still showing mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you meet rappers and stuff when you were doing this warehouse thing? What? Yes,
met a lot of people.
Huh.
I met people that, like I thought, this person's never going to be famous. And then see them 6 months and they'd be huge. Popular. Everybody's buying their stuff.
And did they film these people doing these acts to hold it as blackmail over them?
Yeah, they take pictures.
And does it always involve children?
No, sometimes it's just animals.
Sometimes it's just what?
Animals.
Oh, sometimes it's animals? Ugh. I don't know. The bestiality thing really kind of sends this chill up my spine. I just can't imagine doing anything with an animal.
There's a farm near Washington, D.C. that's used in a lot of bestiality films.
Oh.
And in the 1990s, I arrived there. I was supposed to do a spell there. I didn't know what it was. And I get there, and there's somebody, an actual live person, in a harness. And I'm looking at that. I'm just looking at it, trying to comprehend what I'm seeing. And this guy comes out to greet me, thanks me for showing up. And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "It's I can't think of the name of it. It's where you put the female horse in that, and then you bring the male horse, and he gets in another part of it, so that they can mate, and neither one gets injured. And I said, why is there a woman in it? And they said, oh, we don't want her to get injured. And they're bringing a horse up behind her. And I said,
I've seen how big those horses are.
And he's like, what? I need you. I said, nope, I'm the wrong guy. I'm not here for this. And I got back in my car and told my driver to go.
See, that's what's interesting. You were in the Satanic Church. You were high up there, and I have to believe it goes back to the basic principles of what your parents taught you. If you had morals to walk away from that, morals to walk away from Hollywood, where these young children wanted to do things with you, because your Satanic coven taught you to do those things. They made you do those things too. I mean, you were a victim as a child. There had to be something in your upbringing, even though the Satan Church wanted you to do certain things, where you walked away and you're like, I am putting a line in the sand and I'm not crossing it. Do you think it had to do with the upbringing of your parents, to where you just like, no, I know this is wrong, even though you were going against the Satanic Church?
The horse and the woman I thought was gross.
I can't hear you. What?
The horse and the woman I thought were gross.
Oh, yeah. Very gross.
Who wants to have sex with an animal?
Not me.
Right. Not me either.
And then the horse, like if you, the Red Rocket, that thing is gigantic. It's scary looking to me. Like,
I don't want to be there when it's happening. And, you know, I told my driver, I said, go as fast as you can. I don't want to hear anything. You know, so he's driving through the property. Right, you probably should drive safely about 20, 25 miles an hour. We're driving about 90, trying to get to the highway. And I said, what'd you think of that scene? He goes, that was gross. Because I didn't know what was happening either.
Was this female trying to get famous into Hollywood? Was she forced into it because she was doing some kind of ritual? Was she trying to get into politics? Do you know the story behind that farm near Washington?
She was in Hollywood. And she couldn't advance any further. She couldn't get into any other movies. And she said, what would it take for me to become famous? And they said, we have a place you can go. Agree to do whatever they say. Let us film it. You can be famous. She said, yes.
Man, the price of fame is very steep. And spirit cooking. Do you know about spirit cooking?
Yes.
There's video, there's pictures on, if you Google spirit cooking with Abrima Abramovich and Hollywood elites doing spirit cooking. I saw the pictures. It looks hideous and disgusting, but I don't understand what they're doing. It looks like they're eating human beings. What is all that about? What is spirit cooking all about?
It's a mixture of breast milk, sperm, blood, and urine. And you're making a magical potion that you then have to eat. And there was something online about Hillary Clinton was involved in that.
Yeah.
And
she was the spiritual advisor for Jeffrey Epstein on the Epstein Island. Did you know that?
I've heard that.
Yeah.
But I think the spell was originated by Aleister Crowley. So he was the wickedest man alive, Beast 666. He joined, he taught the Order of Velima, which is what they teach high wizards. And He joined the Golden Dawn in 1904 and made the OTO famous and also was a member of the Illuminati. I'm actually friends with his great-great-grandson.
Oh, interesting.
And he
Is
had.
he still in the Illuminati and the Satanic Church and stuff?
No, he's Catholic, but he has a curse and he's possessed. And both of which because of his great-great-grandfather.
Because you and I talked about it on the last episode that there's generational curses. And when I went to Pastor Greg Locke's deliverance service, he was breaking generational curses at his deliverance meeting. And I don't know if you've seen, because I think you've been a part of deliverance, haven't you? Now, I don't know if this is standard across the board or if this has just happened that night, but a lot of these people were like puking as they were getting delivered. Some of them became very angry. And some of the other guys had to kind of get involved and step in just to kind of like subdue the person. But there was a lot of puking going on, and then there would be a lot of people shaking and almost like they couldn't move for a while as they were getting delivered. Now, I don't know if that's the experience you've seen. That was my first time seeing deliverance, so I don't know if that's
I've assisted in exorcisms.
huh?
Assisted in exorcisms.
Okay, what's the difference? Isn't it the same thing?
In a deliverance, you're asking God through his love and mercy to deliver this person from their curse, their infestation, their cursed object, your temptation, your what's that word? Obsession. If you have a demon inside you and he's got your soul, you need exorcism.
Well, there, I think some of that was happening too, because they would say, come out in the name of Jesus, come out. I think some of that was happening too. And there was screaming. Some of them got really loud.
So anything other than possession.
Okay.
And exorcism. And in
Okay.
an exorcism, you're commanding the Jesus, you're commanding the demon in the name of Jesus to be cast out.
Okay.
So I was at an exorcism probably 10 years ago, something like that. And the exorcist, Monsignor LaFemina, when he starts the exorcism, he calls Satan before the tribunal of God. And he says, if you do that, Satan has to show up.
Whoa.
And then he demands to know why Satan has the right to possess this boy. And Satan said that he had the right to possess him through masturbation, porn addiction, and heavy metal music. Then he has the boy renounce all that. And then the exorcist starts in on what he has to do. But at that point, Satan leaves and he leaves all of his demons there. And you're doing battle with each demon, starting with the weakest one first, going all the way to the strongest one. And exorcisms on this boy took, he was 19 years old. And it took us probably 4 or 5 sessions to get him free. But when it first started in the room, we had the boy sitting there, Monsignor standing in front of him. I'm sitting to his right and behind him one. And then there's two other priests in the room, and there's about four men for muzzle. And I'm sitting there just praying. And I pray and I observe what happens. And then when we take a break, I go into another room with Monsignor and the two priests, and we all talk about what we saw. And nobody in the room was told who I was. So the priests know me, but the guy being exorcised doesn't know, and all the muscle doesn't know. They just see me in there praying. So Obviously, I'm there to pray. And we're just about to start the exorcism. And the first thing we do when we start, the father hears everybody's confessions, which you have.
Everybody, like all, even you guys doing the exorcism.
Everybody's got to
Okay.
hear, because everybody's got to be in a state of grace.
Okay.
Listening, because the demons know when they look at you if you're in a state of grace or not.
Okay.
If you're not in a state of grace, the stain of your sin will be on your soul. And they can read that. They know you've never been to confession. These are the sins you've done. Does your husband know? And they'll just rattle them off and tell the whole room what you don't want anyone to know. Every sin you've ever done since the last time you went to confession. So everybody goes, because that happened to you one time, you will never go back without going to confession.
Yeah, I could see that.
So we all do confession, then we do mass, and it'll be a traditional Latin Rite mass,
Okay.
because Satan hates Latin. It's the official language of the church. It's been around for 2,000 years, and that's the weight that we have is as a church, is saying the exorcism in Latin as well. So then the exorcism starts. He had just asked the kid, just asked Satan about the right to possess him. Satan snaps his head to the right, looks at me, and says, "Zachary King is not welcome here. He's a liar and a traitor." And Monsignor had a pitcher of holy water, and he doused him in the entire pitcher and yelled,
He
"Silence!"
could, so Monsignor saw the devil too. It's not just you who saw him, like Monsignor saw him too.
It wasn't, it was, the devil was inside the guy that was being possessed.
Okay, I gotcha. I gotcha.
I turned and looked at me. And
Gotcha.
as Satan said, "Zachary King is not welcome here. He's a liar and a traitor." So Monsignor yelled silence, doused him in holy water, and then told him, "You will only speak to me and only when spoken to." And there was a loud scream that lasted probably a minute. And then the exorcism started, and we had the weakest demon first. And we worked on probably about four, we exorcised four demons. And then we went and took a break. And we came out and worked on two more. And by then, we've been in there for about 6 hours. And so we took a break and stopped for the day.
Yeah, I heard the scream too at the church service. Some people really had long screams and wouldn't stop for a while, and then finally it did end. Wow. The devil's calling you a liar. That's funny. The father of lies is calling you a liar. That's hilarious. So, the new age has crept into the church, and church as in the whole, whether all of the Christian faith. And I want you to talk a little bit about the new age and what believers need to be aware of, because I've seen some people that claim to be Christian but yet have dabbled in new age stuff, and when I tell them, hey, they get very upset with me. I'm just like, you're the one dabbling in new age stuff, like this is not good.
Going back to my exorcism story, just to finish it out,
Oh, yeah.
when we went took a break, one of the priests said, "When Satan called you out, knew your name, and said you're a liar and a traitor, that totally gave you street cred."
It totally would. Totally would. I agree with you.
The exorcist was like, "Yeah, I agree with that."
Because now you're on the other side. It's like, now.
Right.
I mean, he can't pull a fast one on you because you already know his ways. You've been in that church. Yeah, totally.
So I think one of the biggest things that there's two things I'd like to bring up that are big within Christianity, maybe three. One is, for some reason, Christians seem to have it in their head that tarot cards are bad, but angel cards are good. Have you seen this?
No, I have never seen angel cards.
They look just like tarot cards, but they have angels and angelic names on them.
Oh, wow.
And they tell people this isn't satanic. This is fine. This is Christian, obviously. There's angels on them. But how do you know those are angel names?
Good question, because we only know of a few angel names in the Bible. That's all we're given. That's right. It.
Some of the Jewish books, they have other names. I think they have Uriel and somebody else. But still, that's now you got five names. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 30 of these angel cards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anything that you do that's New Age is a violation of the first commandment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have no gods before me.
Right.
So when you're going to a tarot card reading or a psychic, that person might say a rosary before they do it, or they might pray to God before they do it, but they're not getting their answers from God.
No.
If they're mm-hmm. seeing old Aunt Bertha standing next to you, that's a demon that knows old Aunt Bertha. That's a demon that's standing next to you, and he's going to contact another demon that's maybe in hell with Aunt Bertha.
Mm-hmm.
And give you answers of something that you're asking. You know, but it's not a, it's not old Aunt Bertha.
Well, to your point, it's not, he doesn't even have to contact Aunt Bertha. Chances are they've been seeing what you've been doing your whole life. I mean, they've been here since we've been here. And
right, a demon that knows.
Right. A demon that knows, because he's maybe followed your family line. Maybe he's been watching you. So yeah, clearly, clearly.
But there's a paper that was written by St. Pope John Paul II, probably our most famous pope, at least of living history that, you know, we mm-hmm. know of. And he wrote a paper called Jesus Christ, the Water Bearer of Life, where he includes 20 things that no Christian can do. Now, I don't remember the other 19, but the one I remember was yoga. And yoga runs rampant in the Catholic Church. Like, there's even nuns that teach it. And, you know, it goes hand in hand with the Hindu religion. They'll even tell you, the yogi masters will tell you, you cannot separate the religion from the exercise.
Hmm.
If you're practicing yoga, you're worshiping Hindu gods.
Wow.
Well, another word for a Hindu god or goddess is a demon.
Oh, wow.
So I'm telling people at one of my talks, I said, let's say I told you, I have an exercise you can do, and it will stop you from smoking, stop you from taking drugs, cure your alcoholism. It might cure your mental illness. You might not be bipolar anymore. It'll cure your arthritis. It'll take care of your body pain. It'll cure almost everything. Who's interested?
I would be interested.
Every hand goes up.
Right.
And I say, okay, now, all you have to do is hold the position, pay homage to a demon. Who's interested now? And no hands go up.
Mm-mm.
And I say, okay, how many of you practice yoga? And all the hands go back up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're all practicing that religion I told you about. Those moves. That's yoga. And those moves you're holding, those are of demons.
Oh, wow.
Not everyone gets possessed, but enough get possessed for me to tell you not to do it.
Wow.
We
I had no idea.
A woman in Tallahassee, Florida, My priest calls me. I have multiple priests that have me on speed dial. So, like, if the person's possessed and they can't figure out how they got possessed, they call me and they say, you know, I need you to talk to this person. I can't figure it out. I said, okay, tell them I'm going to call them, and my questions are going to be very invasive. I'm going to get into their nitty-gritty business, but don't be shy. And if they are going to be shy, I don't want to talk to them. And he says, okay, I'll give her a warning. So I got the okay, and I called her. And I said, okay, what do you do during your week? And he had already told me this. She only goes to school, goes to the gym, has a part-time job. She goes home and she sleeps. The majority of her time is at school. All right. So I want you to tell me when you get up on Monday morning, your entire routine. Don't leave anything out. Every time you pee, every time you poop, when you brush your teeth, when you eat, what you eat, every detail down to the nitty-gritty until you go to bed Sunday night. Go. So she starts telling me all this stuff she does, and she's good. She's telling me everything she does. And then she gets to, and then I go to the gym. What do? I work out. What do? I work out. Well, what do? I work out.
Why wouldn't she tell you yoga? Like most people think, like, oh, I didn't know it was worshiping devil. I knew there was a Hindu part to it. I didn't know you couldn't differentiate the two. So most people be like, I work out and I do yoga.
She's
And
not
she
telling me.
could not tell you.
She said, I work out. And I said, all right, what do you do? I work out. Are you stupid? Are you retarded? What's wrong with you?
Wow.
And I said, Pilates, aerobics, spinning class, what do? Oh, I'm sorry, yoga. I said, okay, we're done. Thank you. And she goes, that's all you need? I said, that's all I need. She goes, but I do more stuff. No, I got my answer. So I call the priest and I tell him. And he goes, yeah, she got mad at me like that too. And she yelled at me and I just gave it up. And I said, well, I gave her examples of what working out was. And then she said, oh, okay, yoga. And he goes, oh my gosh, that was so simple. So she was able to get her exorcism because of that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people around the world that get possessed through that.
How did she know she was possessed?
She would like be brushing her teeth, and all of a sudden her face would completely distort in the mirror.
Oh.
And she said it would be very scary. She couldn't understand why that's happening. She thought she was having seizures, so she went to the doctor. And the doctor gave her a bunch of tests. There's nothing wrong with her. And she went to talk to a psychiatrist. And while she was talking to the psychiatrist, she manifested and she levitated out of her chair. And the psychiatrist said, you might be possessed. You might want to go see a Catholic priest.
I wonder how many psychiatrists see possessed people.
I would say a lot of them.
I would say so.
They don't know it. I was working with a woman who had a possessed son in Wisconsin. And I was on tour, so I was near Wisconsin. So I went and met her son. Now, this is the story she told me prior to me getting there. Her son is like 18 or 19 years old, lives at home. And he would come home and punch his bedroom door in the same spot that she anointed it early that morning with the sign of the cross in holy water.
Oh, wow.
He couldn't possibly know where the sign of the cross was,
No.
but he would punch the door in that spot.
Oh, my.
One day, she put holy water on the edge of the door, all the way around it. He came home, yanked the door off hinges, and broke it in half. and then walked in her room, or walked in his room, and stared at the Saint Benedict crucifix until the Saint Benedict medal popped out. She watched him do this. She called the exorcist, and the exorcist doesn't believe in possession. He thinks that everybody that thinks they're possessed is really schizophrenic.
I think there's some schizos that are actually possessed. Now, it could just, some people might have a mental illness for that. I'm not qualified to know that. I haven't really studied it, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was a Christian doctor and he did some exorcism, if suddenly those people got healed. It wouldn't surprise me if I heard that story.
So I got called in to meet him. I walked into the house. She brought me into his bedroom, and he sees me and he shrinks away from me. And he didn't want to shake my hand. And I said, "How about a hug? Want a hug?" And he shrunk back, and he levitated about a foot off the floor, levitated out of his bedroom, down the hallway, into the living room. And then the living room had vaulted ceilings. So where the ceiling met the wall was about 30 feet in the air. He levitated all the way up to that, hit that, and hit the floor asleep. So I said, "There's no doubt he's possessed. I'll talk to the exorcist." So I call the exorcist and talk to him myself. And he thought that because he has a PhD in philosophy, that he's better qualified than I am. Because I only got a bachelor's degree. So.
Yeah, but he didn't live the life you lived either.
So I said he was possessed. And my proof of that was that he levitated out of the bedroom, down the hallway, into the living room, and didn't stop till he hit the joist between the ceiling and the wall. And he's like, "We'll see about that." Okay. So the next day, this woman gets a call from the police department that they drove by and her son was outside watering the flowers naked. So they took him to the, what's that place called?
Juvenile detention center?
No, no, no.
Precinct?
He was 19. They took him to the mental hospital.
Mental hospital.
Now, most of my friends call it the nut hut. I was trying to be nice. But they took him to a mental hospital. And she showed up, and they wouldn't let him see her. So then she called the exorcist, and he said he would come by and he would see him, thinking that her son has a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if she thinks he's possessed, that's fine. I'll go see him, and that'll make her feel better, and it might make him feel better. So he goes back in there, and he's back there for about 5 minutes. And he runs out. His hair is matted to his forehead. He's covered in sweat. He looks scared to death. And he says, "Your son is schizophrenic," and runs away. And I said, "Doesn't sound like he thinks your son is schizophrenic. Sounds like he saw something he couldn't explain." Needless to say, he never got the help that he needed, because that exorcist wouldn't give him a letter stating that we don't believe in exorcism, so she can't go anywhere else.
She can't?
You're not allowed to. If you don't have permission from your diocese to go someplace else, you can't. The exorcist in another diocese is not allowed to see you. The only way you can do that is if, let's say, Father Jim Blunt
mm-hmm.
is a traveling priest.
Mm-hmm.
And he does exorcisms all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're where he is and he can get permission, he can do your exorcism.
I don't know if I agree with that rule. Because if people need help and you would be willing to help them, Zachary, you should be able to help them. It shouldn't be this that demonstrative where that lady really needed help, that boy really needed help, and that guy just flat out didn't want to. She should be able to go to another priest or another exorcist or anywhere to get the help.
It would seem that way, but within our church, obedience is bigger than sacrifice. Obedience is the most important thing. So if you don't,
Obedience to be possessed by a devil, though.
if you're not obedient to your church and you're not obedient to the bishop, then your church has no authority. And you don't have right to get exercised somewhere else.
So you're going to live your whole life with a demon inside of you? Is that better?
No, you would find help, find a way to work within the system. Like I said,
You could go to a Baptist church and get exercises. You can find a Baptist pastor. I digress.
well,
I get what you're saying, but I just think if I would go anywhere else in a situation like that with my kid, because I would not want them to be possessed by a demon. Did you ever find out how that happened, how he got possessed? No. So what other new age things should we be warned about as believers that
thank you.
seem innocent, but really it's not?
Thank you.
What is it?
Reiki.
Reiki. Tell me about Reiki.
It's
I know what it
spelled,
is, but tell me about Reiki.
I think, Reiki.
Yeah.
And Reiki is supposed to be energy manipulation. And the person that does it becomes, they hit level one Reiki, level two, level three. When they hit level four, they're a Reiki master and spirit guide. And that spirit guide helps them heal people. Now, that's on the surface of what's happening. The reality of what's happening is that at each level, when you're one, two, three, and four, they draw magical symbols on your body. And then at level four, you're given the final magic spell. And they give you a demon. And so when you are doing your Reiki moves over somebody, you're practicing magic over them. You're doing spell work over them. And some of those people become possessed.
Ooh, some of the Reiki masters or the person receiving the treatment.
Receiving the treatment.
Oh.
So we've had a woman that called the church and said she was in her bed and she can't move. And yesterday she got a Reiki treatment and doesn't know if that has anything to do with it. So we found the woman's son at church and he let us in the apartment. And we went in there with a group of men and her son, and all the men in the room could not lift her off the bed, as well as the casters that the bed was sitting on broke, all four of them. She weighed so much on the bed, even though, if I had to guess, I would say she weighs like a buck 20,
Whoa.
maybe at most.
Whoa.
So her bed is pressed down as if she weighs 1,200 pounds. And all four, like I said, all four casters were broke. And we can't lift her. And so she said, I'm not in a state of grace. I need confession. So all of us left the room, and the priest stayed in there and heard her confession. And then we all came back in the room, and he did the exorcism.
And then she was free.
Yeah, it took. We were in there for about 8 hours.
Wow, that's insane. Well, Zachary, I'm gonna have to wrap this up because you and I could talk for hours. You're fascinating to me. You and I could talk for hours. So thank you for coming on my program today. Appreciate you.